Study at your own pace. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the staff to reach out to you. Also, Conservative Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're asking what I think is a very prominent question that ought to be considered by every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot. What happened to America? What is being done now to preserve America? Do we have a chance? Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that America will fail in the near future as a result of what we've done over the past 250 years, past 50, 60 years in particular, where we have abandoned God, abandoned God's Word, we have abandoned the prayer in the name of Jesus. We've abandoned prayer in the classroom. We've abandoned our responsibility under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in all that we do and say. And our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian values, the B-I-B-L-E, as we've heard it in Vacation Bible School. In just a moment, we'll take our next caller, but I'm going to look at a headline, refer you to that, and then we'll go from there. Justice Thomas, that's the Supreme Court Justice, progressivism versus the Declaration. This article says, Justice Thomas's speech, it is a monumental condemnation, his speech is a monumental condemnation of progressivism and the Democratic Party. Woodrow Wilson's idea and current Democrat ideas are opposed to the basic American creed that cannot coexist. Thomas said. This is an excerpt from the remarks Clarence Thomas delivered Wednesday at the University of Texas in commemorating the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. The Constitution achieves this purpose by protecting our natural rights and liberties from the consecrated power and executive and excessive democracy. Let me read you one paragraph. It's five pages packed with statement of this speech from Clarence Thomas. Human history teaches us, alas, that numerical majorities frequently seek to control government and use the state to violate the rights of the minority. Because man is fallen and the desire for power was, as James Madison described it, sown in the nature of man, government has not been limited. For as Madison said, if men were angels, no government be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls of government would be necessary. The proponents of this new set of first principles, and he goes back to what was said by, and done by the Woodrow Wilson. The proponents of this first set of principles, most prominently among them, the 28th President Woodrow Wilson, called it progressivism. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not progressivism. It is undermining, tearing down, and destroying the foundations of America. I believe Brother Davis is on the line. Go with the question to comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. You know, several years ago, for the sake of maybe not offending anybody, I used to write on my mail, if you do not love the United States, you're free to leave. We're not going to stop you. I think that means for those that's coming in, and even those who've been born here, if you don't love our country, leave it. We're not going to stop you. I'll help you get a ticket out of here.
Amen, brother. I think, as the old cliche, I second that motion. I believe that we need to have a push for that. And by the way, in one nuance of it, I believe that's what President Trump is saying also. I believe President Trump is taking the stand of cleaning America, defending America, and protecting America from the outside invaders that are coming in. I believe, and this is just a hypothetical, arbitrary, capricious number on my part, but I believe we have in America today somewhere between 30 and 50 million people that hate America, that are here for the purpose of undermining and overthrowing and destroying America. And I'm talking about the Chinese Communist Party. I'm talking about the Islamic jihadists. I'm talking about those that are coming in with the mindset that I'm going to run for office, get into position as Ilhan Omar, and then within about a 3 or 4 year period of time, show $16 million net worth on her bio. And now she's saying, no, that was a numerical error, that she doesn't really have $16 million. Now she's trying to downplay it. I believe we have people like that come into America. They want to milk the system. This is the reason we saw in Minnesota, where billions of dollars have been milked out through false, phony programs. In California, the same. And I believe you can trace that across America and all the blue cities, the blue states in our nation. So with that being said, what are your thoughts? How do we cure that? Is it possible? Will Trump be able to do it? And may I put a little footnote in that question? I believe we err in America when Christians, conservatives, and patriots think that the president is solely responsible and must do it all on his back, and that we can sit back and watch. What say you?
I say you're right. And my question is this, maybe along with that, do you think maybe about half of the number you just quoted might be natural-born people here that hate America because of what we're standing for now? I don't think it's just the ones been coming in. I think it's natural-born people. They're the one that's doing it.
Absolutely. And Brother Davis, let me throw this in to support your fundamental thought. We've had now those that have grown up in America, those that were born in America, those that are called prestigious U.S. citizens, that have gone to the prestigious universities where we have ruling and reigning and all of our prestigious named universities, Harvard, et cetera, that are owned, operated, and run by the socialist, Marxist, communist professors that are here for the purpose, teaching for the purpose of, as one professor said 10, 15 years ago, he said, said, moms and dads, when you send your child to my classroom, you have brainwashed them, and I'm going to brainwash them to understand what you've told them about God, what you've told them about spiritual things, what you've told them about America will be taken out of their thoughts and will be transferred with what I'm going to teach them. I believe we have communist professors in all of our prestigious universities that the universities are selling Marxist communist credentials called PhDs that's destroying America. It's those that's in control today that have PhDs, if you please, graduate degrees, postgraduate degrees from these prestigious schools that are not worth 10 cents other than to overthrow America. And much of that is being financed by George Soros and his 209 different organizational structures that's funding everything that's out to tear down and destroy America. How do you respond to those statements?
I believe that's right. And if I'm not mistaken, I think even several years ago with the Catholic schools and stuff teaching, say if you send our kids to our school, I don't care if you're Methodist or whatever, Presbyterian, Baptist, we'll convert them to Catholicism. You give us our kids and we'll convert them. And that's what's happening.
And we're finding that on a very pronounced scale today. And then we have a U.S.-born Catholic pope, and that pope is now in a position that he thinks he can direct policy in America and foreign policy for the world coming out of the Oval Office. He thinks that he has the authority to dictate what Trump says and does. Let me touch on another element that I'm if you please, very hyper about, and that is that I believe the Catholic Pope is now trying to undermine the 24% vote. 2024, President Donald J. Trump got 24% of the Catholic vote. I believe that Pope is determined through the leadership behind the scenes of Barack Hussein Obama and David Axelrod and the other administrative leaders that's now, I believe, making the Pope the puppet and the Obama group are the puppeteers to overthrow the 2024 November 2026 election. November 2026 election, I believe, will be the key to the future of America. What say you?
I say that when the rapture takes place, he may be still left here to let his true identity be known.
Absolutely. It is sad. I laugh at it, but it's sad to see. And these are part and parcel of the total that we're talking about today, Brother Davis. When I say what happened to America, it's because of the enemies, plural, the enemies within. We have those foreign enemies within. We have those natural-born citizens within. We have the organizational structures within that's here for the purpose of undermining, tearing down, and destroying the fundamental foundation blocks of the United States of America. Brother Davis, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. It demands our prayer as Christians, our attention, to recognize we need to be salt and light. I believe that's necessary if we're going to see God's intervention to save America. Brother Davis, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about asking the question, what happened to America? We have the enemies within, ladies and gentlemen. We have those that are enemies today, enemies to the gospel, enemies to the church, anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-conservatism, that are ruling and reigning today, both parts, both sides of the aisle. We have the head of the Senate that I believe, John Thune, I believe he's about as worthless as a $3 bill. I believe that he doesn't have the backbone of the spine to stand up, speak up, and pass the get the SAVE Act passed. He could do so by eliminating the filibuster and just go direct to the vote on the floor and then go back to the rules inculcating the filibuster once again. He's unwilling to do that. Harry Reid didn't have any problem doing that back in the 90s as he was the head of the Senate. And yet we find John Thune saying, no, we can't do that. That's not following the regular parliamentary procedures and the rules. Ladies and gentlemen, Trump cannot do it by himself. It will take the House and the Senate leaders to recognize that lest we do something now, America's gone. And the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas sees that. He says, and I quote, this is part of Clarence Thomas's speech. Progressivism seeks to replace the basic premise of the Declaration of Independence, and hence our form of government. It holds that our rights and our dignities come not from God, but from government. It requires of the people a subservience and a weakness incompatible with a constitutional premise on the transcendent origins of our rights. You will not be surprised to learn that the progressives have a great deal of contempt for us. That's Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice, saying that the progressive, and he identified them already in his speech, the progressives going back to the Woodrow Wilson style of Democrats today. And in that progressivism, he says the progressive have a contempt for us, the American people. Before he entered politics, Wilson would describe the American people, listen, before Woodrow Wilson was elected president, this is what he said. American people are selfish. American people are ignorant, timid, stubborn, and foolish. He lamented that we do not have much to vote with, but too little to expect to rule, except rule. He proposed that the people be ruled by administrators to use the term and use the term as tools. He once again aspired to be like Germany, where the people said admiringly, we were docile and acquiescent to the rulers in Germany. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching a replay of that today. And I'm thankful for Clarence Thomas, the oldest number of years seated on the U.S. Supreme Court today. The left is wanting him to retire. The left is wanting him to die. The left is wanting him to get off the bench. And it's my prayer that he'll remain there And it's my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that others on the bench during this lively period of time of the Trump administration, that others that are the loose likes, lost liberals, those that are wackos that cannot tell you what a woman is, that they will be replaced during the administration of President Donald J. Trump. This is what says... this is what Clarence Thomas says further. It comes as no surprise that the progressives, and he's talking about the Democrats, embraced eugenics. Progressives believed that Darwin science, the idea of ever-advancing progress written into biology itself, had proven the inherent superiority and inferior to the races. It was only a small step for Wilson to regenerate the federal workforce. It was only another step for the government to launch sterilization programs on those deemed to be experts of the day, but to be unfit to reproduce, end quote. And I could go on and on and on with the mega major statements made by the conservative Justice Clarence Thomas. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've not read that, I suggest you go online, find Thomas's speech about progressivism versus the Declaration of Independence in America. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Well, we've all heard of the vote in the state of Virginia, ladies and gentlemen. That's part and parcel of the woke progressivism that has infected and totally controlled the Democratic Party. No longer do we have a real Democratic Party, ladies and gentlemen. No longer do we have it a mindset where the people have a right to vote and make the choices and the decisions. The mindset is today that the Democratic Party, the woke progressives, are in charge and they have the authority, and there ought not to be any such thing as a vote by the people to make a decision. I'm looking at one of the headlines, Virginia voters approve Democrat-backed redistricting plan. Virginia voters on Tuesday approved a redistricting referendum that will allow the state legislature to redraw its congressional map, outside the norm cycle in a manner expected for the Democrats. Associated Press called the contest in favor the Yes campaign just before 9 p.m. The state currently has 6 Democratic members of Congress and 5 Republicans. The new planned Democratic map is expected to produce 10 Democratic seats and only 1 Republican seat. Now listen, you got almost a 50-50 vote. The northern part of Virginia, you may as well call it the bedroom of Washington, D.C., which generally is about 99.99% socialist, Marxist, communist, and their vote and their stand on political issues. You could just about say that that's part of D.C. But, ladies and gentlemen, I find it fascinating. I watched the votes come in, and listen, they had the no vote leading by about 10 points until the last of the last of the last of the counting. In Fairfax County, finally the numbers were brought in. Finally, and they'd had early voting since sometimes early March. They'd had about 6 weeks of early voting. And they had, I believe they agreed about 1.25 million mail-in ballots for our early voting ballots. And ladies and gentlemen, they held those back. And they held back the counting of Fairfax County until last. And then all of a sudden, the numbers changed dramatically. And all of a sudden, the yes vote for a redistricting, and it wasn't really about redistricting. Listen, I'll explain that. And immediately, it won by 51-49% of the vote. The redistricting is for the future of what they want to do. The vote was to change the Virginia Constitution for a temporary period of time, a short period of time, until 2030, they said. And the purpose was, during that short period of time until 2030, would simply be to allow the redistricting to take place, which would wipe out 90% or 95% of any Republican vote in the state of Virginia. Listen, what they did was unconstitutional based on the Virginia Constitution, and yet it was done. I'm thankful that immediately court found that it was unconstitutional. Let me read it. Virginia judge says the certification of the redistricting is unconstitutional. A Virginia county court on Wednesday barred the certification of the state's redistricting referendum pending appeal, according to the Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli and the state representative Wren Williams, Republican of Virginia. Goes on to talk about the county issued the injunction barring the certification. The order will face certain appeal and likely head to the state Supreme Court, which is already expected to address a challenge to the referendum. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the point. When it goes to the Supreme Court of the state of Virginia, my question is, do we have a legitimate Supreme Court in Virginia? Is the Supreme Court in Virginia weighted on the side of the woke progressivism of the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party? Or do they look at things from a constitutional standpoint and make legitimate decisions? I'm looking at an article from the ACLJ, that is the J. Sekulow's legal organization. J. Sekulow says this: it's one of the worst attacks on election integrity ever in the history of America. The radical left just forced through a redistricting map that disenfranchises almost half of the voters in the state of Virginia. Virginia now has one of the worst gerrymandered maps ever. 49% of the electorate will only get 9% of the representation in Congress. Listen to that number. 49% of Virginia will get only 9% of the representation in Congress. This makes Virginia further left than California. Not only was this week's ballot measured intentionally, deceptively worded, but it was also illegally placed on the ballot just months away from the midterm election. The proponents violated a host of laws and the state constitution itself. A trial court just struck it down yesterday afternoon. But this case is being quickly appealed to the state Supreme Court. Let me read you the parentheses statement from J. Sekulow. It's a direct assault on our representative form of government and could completely change the midterm elections nationwide. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, I will say once again, if the midterm elections in November of this year, November 2026, if the midterm elections are lost and the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party gains control of the House and the Senate, my personal opinion, America is gone. I believe it will be so far gone that it will be irretrievable to have a two-party system. We'll have a uniparty, and that uniparty will be a Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, and I believe it will be too far gone. We have a nation today that's not just in trouble from the electric standpoint that's being shut out. We have a nation today that's not just in trouble because the Socialist Marxist Communist. We have a nation today that's in trouble not just because of the Islamic Jihadists coming in, but we have a nation today that's in trouble as a result of turning our backs on God, of literally tearing the Bible up, wanting to eviscerate the truth of the Word of God. I touched on it and spoke about it a bit yesterday. But in Jeremiah chapter 36, we find where God told Jeremiah to take this empty scroll and to write on it. He said, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. And he tells him what to put in the book. We'd call it the Bible. As a result of that, it was proclaimed on billboards, as I use the term philosophically. It was proclaimed on the radio broadcast. It was proclaimed on telephone, telegraph, and telewoman, if you please, in that day. It was proclaimed, it was preached, it was prescribed, and everybody heard it in the houses and in the temple. And then when the princes, that is the rulers, the leaders, the politicians started hearing it, they told the king, and we told the king, the king said, bring it to me, read it to me. When it was read to the king, page after page after page after page, the scripture says, so the king sent Jehoiada to fetch the roll, and he took it out, and the scribes in the chambers, and he read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of the princes which stood before him. And each page it was read, and it came to pass that when it was read, three or four leaves. He cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all of the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. He burned the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a nation today where we're trying to ban the Bible, burn the Bible, in some way, some fashion, undermine the very foundation stones that the nation was built on. As we celebrate the 250th year of the United States of America, we need to turn back to the Word of God. We need to turn back to what the Bible says and recognize that we are in trouble. We cannot tolerate some things that's happening. Excuse me. I'm looking at one headline that says public school remodeled features Muslim prayer room and foot washing room. It is a Minnesota school, ladies and gentlemen, that's now setting up. I'm looking at the diagram where they have a prayer room where the Muslim students can go in, unfurl their prayer rugs during the school day, unfurl their prayer rugs and have prayer time, foot washing time in the school, in the schoolhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, when we turn to the enemies of our nation, when we allow the enemies to have rule and reign, where the Islamic jihadists can demand halal food, where the Islamic jihadists can demand to be recognized and seen, where the Islamic jihadists can defraud American taxpayers by the hundreds of millions, yea, billions of dollars, and it seemed to be all right and being swept under the rug by the socialist, Marxist, woke, progressive, communist group called the Democrats. When that takes place, ladies and gentlemen, we are in trouble as a nation. And then when you have on top of that people like Tucker Carlson. Listen, I've got an article here that just shocks the socks off anybody that would read it. Tucker Carlson, let me just read you a couple of paragraphs and then speak about it in these closing moments. Tucker Carlson, the one-time cable network darling of the right, lost his mind around the time he was fired from Fox News, April 24th, 2023. He has evidenced this into countless ways, including his now infamous fight with demons, which he seems to have lost. I believe the demons still possess the boy. Perhaps the most obvious symptom of Carlson's brain rot is his year-long soft on jihad, now waged with increased fervency, injecting and normalizing Islam within the culture and political bloodstream of overwhelming Christian American right. Ladies and gentlemen, Tucker Carlson is progressively pushing the Islamic jihadist agenda. In fact, there is in this article where he is proposing to buy a home in Qatar and to live with the Islamic jihadist, start to move there and stay occasionally. He is pushing it. And then on top of that, with the Pope saying that Christians need to not fear Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, the socialist, Marxist, communist in America, the Islamic jihadist in America, those that hate America because America is great and God's ordained what we have in America, those that hate God and hate the Bible want to see the undermining and the destruction of our nation. It demands our prayer, our concentration and focus on being salt and light. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.